Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. With me is Kyle. He's always here. He never leaves, especially on week three of the Bears beating the shit out of people. He stays right here.
You know, what did we trap? We were here. We were a couple weeks ago after that Colts game. I'm going to start this episode the same way I started the last episode. What do we tell the people, Travis? What did we tell the people? We said, hold on. It's coming, all right? Yeah. And you're it's coming, isn't it, folks, right? It came all over your face every Sunday. We said that. I mean, and yes, we're going to acknowledge there's been some bad defense playing a role in this. Yeah. No doubt. But that's okay, because they're beating the brakes off of these teams. This is not the old I mean, like the contrast between last year, even like last year's Panthers game when they won 16-13, eking out an ugly Thursday night slopper, versus this year when it's, you know, 35-10, they're absolutely beating the brakes off them. Caleb can do no wrong. Yes, it's still the NFL, and if you are just destroying people, I mean, did you see Atlanta's game against Carolina this week, guys? They were in it till late into the fourth. It's hard in the NFL to fucking bury these teams like the Bears have done the last 2 weeks. So we're talking obviously about the Bears versus the Jaguars. They were in London. It was honestly the best possible day, the best setup for a day of football imaginable. The Bears, 8:30 in the morning. I wake up, it's football time. I wake up, it's Caleb Williams time. I wake up, it's Cole Kmet emergency long snapper time. Yeah. The Bears get a huge win, and then you've got the rest of the day to watch the rest of the NFL stress-free. We're rolling into the bye week now. I get to watch football all goddamn week long. I ain't stressed about shit, Travis. It ain't stressing me at all.
That's right. And we get to watch this week. We get to watch the teams at the top of our division kill each other. And then we get to watch the Packers play the Texans, which sounds great to me.
Which, we're hoping, you know, obviously I'm hoping that the Texans have something in store for Jordan Love. But
you brought up, I mean, we should say it at the beginning before we get into the effusive praise, right? Jacksonville and Carolina are the bottom two teams in the NFL in terms of defensive DVOA. Like, you know, there's no getting around that. The Rams, by the way, are 30th. Those are our last three games. Now, them getting their ass kicked by the Bears certainly helped put them all in the bottom position there.
Yeah, none of them were ranked as quite that low entering. They were all bottom five entering those contests.
Yes, I mean, each subsequent week, we have put that team at the bottom of the rankings, whatever team the Bears have played. But yeah, I mean, to your point, you and I were both watching Falcons-Panthers. And before this season, you brought up the Falcons as a team that the Bears might be similar to this season, right? 8-9, 9-8, but you've got some talent. Maybe a couple games go your way. You're looking, you know, into the playoffs. In the case of the Falcons, it might be a division title because that's the way the NFC South goes, not in the NFC North for the Bears. But yeah, you know, right, like around that talent level. And when you have that talent level, the Panthers hang with you until the fourth quarter and you have to put them away, right? And that is just not what the Bears are doing here. The Bears are taking these teams and putting them in a dumpster where they belong.
That was what the Bears did against the Jaguars this week, was the highest performance by any team this week in terms of EPA and success rate on offense. It was the Bears' best performance in those respective categories since when, Travis? I sent you this earlier today. Do you remember which game it was? The last time the Bears played an offensive game this successfully?
It was the Mitch Trubisky game.
The Mitch Trubisky game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And I'm actually glad that gives me a reason to tie back to the Mitch Trubisky game against the Buccaneers. Because, Caleb Williams is doing a lot of the shit that he's doing because the schedule is not particularly great at the moment, for sure. But it's important to remember, he is a rookie. Rookies shouldn't be blowing out anybody in the NFL. They shouldn't be playing games this clean. I mean, over his last four starts, I think, his completion percentage is 69. If you go back to the start of the Colts game, his completion percentage is like 69%. He is throwing, he's averaging 270 some yards per game. It's been,
I mean,
he has been,
you like to bring up adjusted completion percentage, which I believe gets rid of throwaways, right? And I feel like almost all of his incompletions are throwaways.
His adjusted completion percentage, I believe, in this game against the Jaguars was 95%. He had two bats and three throwaways and only six incompletions. So the one pass that he actually missed, and we'll talk about it, it was the interception that he put a little too much air,
to
DJ Moore. Yeah, it was just one of those ones. And that's the one thing the kid is still working on. He's still calibrating that deep ball, and you could see the gears grinding in his head as he was like, "Oh, DJ!" And you could tell he was like, "Wait, no, last time you've been overthrowing those, so take a little bit off." And then you see the safety jump, and you could see Caleb be like, "That was too much off, fuck."
That's also not right, actually.
And Kurt Warner talked about that too. He's like, "Oh, Caleb's going to be fine, but right now he's doing a lot of guys do this when they edit. He's aiming his passes. He's aiming his deep balls. He's not just throwing it."
Yeah.
So you know that's the one blemish on the game there. But yeah, I wanted to talk about, I'm glad that it gave me an excuse to circle back to the Mitch Trubisky game. Because yes, Caleb's playing some easier defensive slates. He's probably going to have some rough games in the future. I mean, at some point...
Not soon, Kyle. Would you like to know who the next two teams after those three teams we just beat are? It's
Washington
New England
and the New England
and
Patriots,
then Washington.
Yes. And then the Cardinals are a bottom 10 team as well still. So we got the Cardinals coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, so the Bears are still going to have some opportunity for some fireworks. And then you hope that with all of the stuff that Caleb has put together the last couple of weeks, you know, with all this experience under his belt, the comfort, the confidence, when the schedule does tighten up again defensively, he's much more composed. I mean, he's already made so many strides in terms of quick game. I mean, since week two, even against the Texans, he has been outstanding in quick game, just in getting the ball out quickly, identifying as hot, all of that stuff that the last guy was notoriously terrible at. He's already good at that. And you just see him start to attack the intermediate part of the field the last couple weeks, attack in the middle of the field. He had a beautiful post route to Rome against the Jaguars where, you know, he just anticipates, throws it like the second Rome is clearing the linebacker, the ball's already on its way there. Beautiful post route to Rome. Just a lot of good plays with the middle field. But anyways, talking about the Mitch Trubisky Bucks game. One of the things I remember saying after that Mitch Bucks game is I was like, you know, I want to be excited. But, like, did any of those throws, like, specifically, did any of the throws in that game actually excite you? Or was that just bad defense? Because you go back, you watch the Mitch Trubisky Bucks game, and I'm sure all of us watched it a million times when we were either trying to talk ourselves into the kid or whatever. You know, there are wide open guys on five of them. He did have one nice touchdown pass, I want to say, to Allen Robinson in that game. But otherwise, five of the six, wide open guys. There are it's not complicated. There's nothing in that game that you watch when you actually watch the throws where you're like, yeah, this guy is special. You watch Caleb in that game against the Jaguars. The first touchdown pass he threw to Keenan Allen, the way he threw that with anticipation up the seam on the outside shoulder where only Keenan could get it, that's special, man. Mm-hmm. You watch the second touchdown pass to Keenan Allen, the way he throws it just over the corner's outstretched hand with him and Keenan both having maybe an inch of sideline to work with, to get that throw right there, to bring it in, that is special, man. All of those throws, there were so many. And then we saw, again, every week we're starting to see a little bit more of the Caleb Williams that we saw in college. He's getting a little more comfortable, you know, because I really felt like he put so much pressure on himself early on to stay in the pocket, play in structure, show them that you can do all this stuff they say you can't do. And I think he has. He's shown that. But you see him now also getting comfortable enough to, you know, occasionally make some escapes to do some stuff. He had that play. He had to escape the pocket. He's rolling right. And, you know, JT O'Sullivan already did his breakdown on YouTube for quarterback school. But, you know, he talks about how the thing that makes Caleb so hard to defend is that he never, on those throws, he never breaks his stride. It's a dead sprint to the sideline. And then he can just just rotate his upper body and flip that ball back to Komet. The defense, like the defenders that are sprinting after him, they have no reason to believe he's about to make a throw. It's impossible to fathom that a guy like that is going to make a throw. He doesn't look like he's even capable. He's not loading up order in. And then, boom, the ball is to Cole, and Cole's got 20 freaking yards of runway to get a huge play. I mean, yeah, there were...
The only other dude who can do that is Josh Allen right now in the NFL. That's the only other person who has that throw in his pocket.
But Mahomes, I would say, also. Yeah, I mean...
Does Mahomes have that exact throw? I mean, Mahomes has a lot. He has a lot of throws that nobody else can do. I'm not sure if I've ever seen him do that one.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'll go that far. Mahomes can pull... I think Mahomes can pull that club out of his bag, too. And I think Aaron Rodgers of 5, 6, 7 years ago, not the Aaron Rodgers of today, could pull that out of his club. Could had that club in his bag. But yeah, I mean, you saw there were special throws. And I mean, and against the Panthers, the first touchdown pass, or not the first touchdown, the second touchdown pass to DJ Moore was special. The touchdown pass to DJ Moore against the Rams was special. You're seeing, like, because you watch the coverage on it. I mean,
it's not even the touchdowns. You know, that third down conversion to Keenan Allen, where he fired a bullet between two guys.
Yeah.
Looks like it shot Keenan back 2 yards, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's when he's releasing the ball, it's the perfect platform he has. I mean, he just, you know, to borrow again from JT O'Sullivan, I just watched his video, his breakdown of it, and I think you should all check that out. He's like, when you say robotic, it's usually, it sounds bad, but he's like, in Caleb's case, it's literally like, he's like a fucking murderous robot sometimes, the way he just gets himself perfectly lined up and there's no wasted movement whatsoever, and that ball is out so quickly before the defense can react. And then, you know, I thought Kurt Warner called that game in London, and Kurt has always been, and I haven't always agreed with Kurt. For one, he was like a big fan of Zach Wilson, and I obviously was not, and I won that one, Kurt. But right now, Kurt looks like he's winning the Jaden Daniels argument. We'll see here. We'll see. No, but I haven't always agreed with Kurt Warner, but I always feel like he's not like some of the guys I don't respect, like Chase Daniel or Chris Sims, where he just says whatever I think he's got a take, or he's saying what he thinks people want to hear. Kurt really breaks these guys down and really gives his take. And so he, with Caleb in a couple of the games early on, he'd be like, I can't tell. Like, is he seeing it, or is he just kind of guessing on some of these throws? Like, is he just trusting that his first read's going to be there and throwing it in there? I'm not sure he's seeing it. But watching him that London game, you know, Kurt was calling that game, and several times he went out of his way to be like, you can see him right there. That's 1, 2. He's getting to his third guy. He's getting to his backside guy. He's seeing the field so well right now.
Yeah.
That was the thing that, you know, that was the biggest question about him coming in. You know, we knew all the talent was there. We knew all the off schedule stuff. You and I were both big believers that, like, yeah, he can see the field. He can process. He can play. But, you know, you got to put it on tape. And already, you know, we're six games in, and I'm just like, yeah, he can see the field. He can read a defense. He can get through a progression. And then when you combine that with the skills he has, with the quick release, and then with the stuff that he can do out of structure on the perimeter, like, it is fucking exciting times right now. There's like, you're gonna have some people bring up the schedule, blah blah blah, and yeah, there will be tough games ahead. Like right now, if you want to ask me my honest opinion on what's gonna happen the first time Caleb Williams runs into Brian Flores, he's gonna have a pretty bad day at the office, because that's what Brian just does to guys the first time. I think it's probably gonna be a little dicey at times. There will be bad moments. I still don't trust this offensive line against really good defensive fronts. There'll be some dicey moments, but it's not just bad defenses that they're playing right now. The kid is doing special things, and yeah, they are playing bad defenses. So what you do against bad defenses, you put up 35 points in back-to-back games for the first time. I think this was the first time in 68 years or something that the Bears had done that. Yeah. 35 offensive points, like 5 offensive touchdowns. I guess in the good Trestman year, they had 35 points in back-to-back games, but there was a couple defense or special team scores in there. But this is 35 points, all offensive, back-to-back games for the first time in 50-plus years for the Bears. I mean, that's... Yeah, they're bad defenses, and he fucking tore them a new one. Just absolutely eviscerated them.
He did what he's supposed to. Yeah, I mean, you talked about Kurt Warner. There was a point during the game where you could just tell that there was a shift from Warner and Eisen into like, oh my God, like this guy has the nuts. Like, they started to talk about like, oh, this is a competition for Rookie of the Year. Like, if he keeps playing like this, this is this is one of the wildest 1-2 competitions we've ever seen. Specifically, there was the play where Caleb got up to the line. He obviously changed a bunch of coverages. He absolutely knew what was going to happen. He knew Keenan Allen was going to be open on this flag to the right sideline. And he was like, oh, I'm going to nail this fucking pass. He winds up. And that just happened to be the one play where Braxton Jones got beat on the day. And he ended up taking a sack. And you could hear the life come out of Kurt Warner as he just goes, oh, Keenan Allen was wide open. Dude, yeah, he was throwing it to him. And like, it's that. We've never had a quarterback who can, like, you know, pull the Chris Collinsworths, the Kurt Warner, the Tony Romo, and just make them accidentally start rooting to see the magic from him, you know, they were like, oh, I was about to see something awesome. And and I have been deprived of it by Braxton Jones. So it's we've got our guy. You know, it's crazy to be 6 games into his rookie year as a Bears fan and be like, okay, this is the dude. He's the shit. Like, I'm a believer at this point.
Let's move
on to other things.
Yeah, well, and like I said, when I was talking about the Rams game, you know, watching Matthew Stafford in the Rams game, used to be I would watch a guy like Matthew Stafford and I'd be like, God, wouldn't it be just nice to have one of those fucking guys? And I would seethe with jealousy. But I was watching Matthew Stafford in that Rams game, and I was already starting to really believe in Caleb, really starting to. And all I could think was, like, man, what is Caleb going to be like with 5 years of experience under his belt? What is he going to be like 2, 3, 4 years from now when, you know, he has seen the Brian Floreses of the world? He's seen them multiple times. He's had everything thrown at him. He's adapted. And I believe he's going to adapt like that. You rarely see this guy make the same mistake twice. Now, sometimes, like I said, with the DJ Moore interception, you see him make a different mistake trying to compensate for the deep balls that he was overthrowing earlier in the year. And again, we talked about this a little bit last week. I'm still not concerned about the deep ball inconsistency. That is something that, like I said, even Joe Burrow, who has been a fantastic deep ball thrower going back to college and the rest of his NFL career as a rookie, that kind of shit happened to him all the time. It just takes a minute to really adjust to NFL hashes, to NFL speed, to NFL windows, to work out chemistry with your receivers. Not concerned about it. It was pretty damn I laughed at the time that it happened because I was like, oh, well, you could see him and you could see him like doing the math as he was lining up to throw it. And then he was like, nope. That was too much off. Next time we got to do like an 80%. That was 74 was too low. So,
like last week we talked about him having a moment with the, you know, we got fucking fire. Like, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And then, you know, proving that he was right, you know, showing that to the team. Yeah. And this week it really felt like any other Bears quarterback, especially a young Bears quarterback, things are going well. You know, you're moving the ball. The offense is getting kickstarted, but it's only 7-3. And then they throw that dumbass interception. That would have broken the Chicago Bears every year that I've been alive, right?
Well, except and let's one.
Caleb, the next drive, goes back out, marches the team down the field, throws a fucking touchdown. We have never had a guy who can do that.
Well, unless this is where we have to single out Matt Eberflus right here. Yeah. Because if Matt Eberflus was the guy that we were afraid he was, and there might be bigger games, bigger moments where he still gets a little, where he turtles. But for right now, anyways, Matt Eberflus did not tell him, you know, all right, let's cut the shit and run the ball. He didn't dial back at all. Him and Shane Waldron both, after that interception, they were like, all right, kid, well, you fucked that one up. So the ball's in your hands again. Take us down the field. This is your team, still your ball. Show us what you got. They went right back to him. They trusted him in a way that they have never trusted. We've never seen the Bears staff really trust a guy like that, go right back to him like that after. And that's the thing that we were afraid in terms of the development of a young quarterback. We were afraid that was the kind of stuff Matt Eberflus wouldn't do.
Yeah.
So it's important to single that out as a thing that, like, he didn't do the Lovie Smith. He did not turtle. He trusted the kid. He was like, yeah, well, you know, that's just going to happen sometimes. Get back out there. You know, no risk it, no biscuit. So, and that's what he did. And Caleb proved that he was worthy of the trust, man. He keeps proving that he's worthy of the trust.
Yeah. The coaching we've got to talk about, because the coaching has been like really good the last few games. Waldron, outside of the first few plays of the game, which is still just like a kind of a bugaboo with this team. We'll see if we can get better at it as the season goes along. But once they get into that rhythm, they allow Caleb to play with tempo. You know, these play calls are fantastic. And I wanted to call out a specific series of events that the Bears ran because I was like losing my mind, slobbering all over after it happened during the game. They ran a play where they did the stupid thing where they took DJ Moore and he was obviously going out for a screen. And it was just like, God damn it, Bears, you're going to lose 2 yards on this. They lost 2 yards on it like three plays before, I believe it was. And Caleb didn't even have to fake throwing the pass to DJ Moore for the defense to run to that side. It completely threw them off. And instead, Caleb threw that screen to Roshon Johnson. Worked out really well. The very next play is that touchdown to Cole Kmet. They fake it first to DJ Moore. He actually fakes it to him. So the defense goes that way. And then he comes back around like he's going to do that double screen to Roshon. The whole defense basically falls on their ass. They're like, okay, this has to be it.
Yeah,
and he just throws it to Cole Kmet.
That play design put the linebacker in a blender. Like, yeah. Number 33, I think, was the linebacker.
Yeah. He was just like,
on that. There was no way he was going to be right on that play.
Incredible series of play calls. Like, what do you do as a defense? Like, yeah. There's no way you see that.
Yeah, well, and Eberflus, I thought, you know, we keep seeing this in each game. You know, the Jaguars had a very good opening script. They were kind of prepared. Just like we saw, the Titans had a couple drives early on. The Texans had a pretty good opening drive. You know, we keep seeing these teams come out with a good script for the tendencies that they see from Eberflus's defense.
Yep.
And Eberflus has been winning the adjustment battle. He's like, all right, so that's what you got? Cool. And then he shuts them down. And that was an impressive job because, first of all, Trevor Lawrence has... I have been a defender of Trevor Lawrence. I thought last year people were being way too harsh on the guy. He was a top 10 in just basically every category up until he had that high ankle sprain. And then he came back after 1 week off of the high ankle sprain, which you can't do, and they collapsed down the stretch. This year, Trevor's been struggling a bit. Like, the accuracy has been very spotty. He's been missing a lot of stuff downfield.
Excuse me, folks. It's bedtime.
I'm old. I'm old.
We're old men, damn it. It's too late.
We are old men. No, but Josh Allen, I'm watching the Monday Night Football game. Trevor Lawrence came out firing darts. He had his A game yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had, I think, four touchdown passes that he threw that were either dropped, disbarred, or not dislodged, because he's the king of the almost touchdown pass. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence came to play. He was very accurate, made some nice plays, and the Bears were missing Brisker. They were missing Tyreek Stevenson. They lost Kyler Gordon in the game, which really fucking sucks.
We'll talk about that in a second. Massive loss for that Washington game.
They were shorthanded, and it was a good defensive game. It was a great, they shut the Jaguars down. They held them to, was it 16 points total? It's 12 straight games that this defense has allowed 21 points or less, the longest streak in the NFL. The Bears' longest streak of such games since 2005, which was the best defense of the Lovey era. You got to kind of give him his props here as a defensive coordinator, the stuff they're doing there. And then also, like I said, for trusting Caleb Williams, trusting Shane Waldron, not trying to shut anything down after the interception, not trying to win the game on defense. He's doing a good job right now. There's no denying that.
Yeah, Bears up to sixth in defensive DVOA right now. DVOA, of course, adjusts for opponent. And the reason that we're saying that the Bears have drugged these teams down to the basement is those first two games the Bears played were so bad. The Bears offense is still ranked 24th offensively in DVOA, despite the last 2 weeks. That's just the way it is. That's how the numbers work. But yeah, the Bears defense has been incredibly impressive. I kind of want to wrap up on the offense. I want to give another shout out to Swift.
Well, let's give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to the whole to the weapons, because this was Caleb's best game at spreading the ball around to everybody. Cole Kmet, 2 touchdowns. I said it a little bit ago, but like Cole Kmet is doing some stuff this year that I specifically said he couldn't do. He seems faster. He is separating. He's always been good at finding the hole in the zone and exploiting zone defense, but like he's blocking. Even JT O'Sullivan, who, you know, used to call Cole Kmet America's favorite eligible tackle, he's been very vocal in his praise of Kmet this year, says he looks faster and just he's been such a safety blanket for Caleb. And I appreciate Waldron, you know, mixing things up and dropping the Gerald Everett bullshit and getting Cole the ball. One of Cole's best games for sure. Cole has been huge part of their run game success the last couple of weeks. He has been doing a great job sealing the edge on a lot of those toss sweeps and everything. And that's huge. And then obviously Keenan Allen, you know, this was the first game you really saw the stuff that you expected from Keenan Allen when the Bears brought Keenan out. That was the third down money guy, the quick slants, the third down quick hitch, those beautiful catches in the end zone. Like, that's Keenan Allen. That's where the guy Caleb can go to on fourth and three in the red zone. You know he's going to make the catch. Just get him the ball. And Caleb's like, I don't really care about the separation. I can put it on a dime. You just catch the damn ball. And that's what Keenan's doing. We saw Rome get incorporated on a couple nice plays. Like I said, him and Caleb connected on a really nice deep post that was really cool to see. And then DJ Moore, you know, they've been getting him the ball as well, moving things around. Just an excellent effort in terms of spreading the ball around. Yeah, and Swift, another great game.
Roshan, how about that pass he tipped to himself?
The hands were there, and then nice job on the screen call that you referenced, because it was actually, I think Tevin Jenkins missed his block on that screen. Actually, Roshan could have been tackled right then and there; would have been a punt. Roshan breaks the tackle and then picks up the first down and then some. So yeah, nice plays by Roshan. Everybody really played their part. It was nice to see.
Yeah, Cole. There are things that Cole Kmet does that. Like, it feels like every play almost, he's some kind of linchpin on it, no matter what he's doing. We had a play earlier in the game where Caleb finally decided to keep the ball on an RPO, which, as you said, he really hasn't done this season. And
no, he hasn't.
Cole and Rome, by the way, are out there holding their blocks for five, 6 seconds
while
he gets out.
It was a very good block from Cole on that keeper.
Incredible seal. And then later in the game, we
and then Cole also had to be
referenced where Caleb's running around and then he throws it to him as he's on the run. Yeah. That was Cole was blocking two guys and then it was like a kismet moment. He was like, I'm just going to go behind him and I'm going to gain 30 yards. And that's what they did. Just an insane decision.
Yeah, just like he's like, oh, Caleb's going scramble mode. Okay, cool. And then he just gets into leaks and all the space in the world. And then he was the emergency fucking long snapper. Yep. So that was, he did a pretty good job. And it was kind of funny. They were going for a lot of fourth downs late, even though they were up multiple scores. And I was like, man, I don't know what got into Matt Eberflus's Cheerios today, but he's just like so aggressive. And someone pointed out, like, no, it's because they don't trust Cole to long snap for the
punt. They don't
have
a fucking long snapper.
So they're just going for it on fourth. But he did a nice job with on most of the extra points. There was one field goal I think he got a kind of a bad snap on that led to Cairo missed. But otherwise, really impressive performance there as the emergency long snapper.
Yeah, Flus at the halftime interview. Boy, the difference between the coach halftime interviews was wild. But the one with Flus,
is the most fired man that's ever.
Yeah, yeah, they were trying to. They were trying to get a laugh out of Eberflus, and they were like, "Ooh, so how often does Cole work on long snapping?" And he was like, "Oh, every Thursday, Cole works on long snapping." He's like, "Yep, and he does a great job." And I'm just like, This guy is too nice. Like, he's just having a great time
out there. It was funny.
Doug Peterson, you remember during our Tournament of Bad Bears games, I mentioned the halftime interview that Dick Geron gave at that very last game of the season at Memorial Stadium. He didn't want to be there. Henry Burris is starting a quarterback. All hope is lost. He's just like, fuck you. Stop talking to me. That is what Doug Peterson looked like. The same fucking look that Dick Geron had, man.
Yeah, I feel like if the Jaguars were not stuck in London for another week, Doug's already gone.
So he's already gone.
He knows. Yeah, he knows he's the most fired man on earth right now.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I saw a clip of an
interview. I have to talk about that, dude. I have to. Because it's another Waldron thing. The thing that Waldron adjusted to in this game. And I mentioned it while we were watching the game a bunch. The runs that are designed to go to Swift now all include a cutback, which is what it seems like his natural instinct is. I think Waldron has picked up on it, And he said, if that's what you're going to do, then go in, cut back, and explode. And
yeah,
it's working perfectly for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. Well, and they've leaned into duo a lot as their like favorite run blocking concept. And I think that is the strength of their offensive line. You know, get those combination blocks between between Murray and, or not Murray, between Pryor and Wright, and then between Tev and Shelton. You know, that concept's working really well for them. But yeah, he's adjusted to what Swift does well. He's adjusted to what Caleb does well. You know, there are still a couple concepts where I feel like he's using Keenan for the route that I would like to see Rome run, and using Rome for the route that I like to see. But I also think that's they're trying to ease Rome in as well. I don't think they want to throw too much at Rome, and I think they would really like Rome to kind of learn like one wide receiver spot. You know, because in the Shanahan system, this is what it is. It's a Shanahan. There is a whole hell of a lot for wide receivers to learn and do, and there's so much blocking and so much motion. It's a lot to take in, and if you want the kid to play fast, sometimes you just stick him at one wide receiver spot. But I'd like to see a little bit of that change. But yeah, the personnel usage has improved every week. The game plan has improved every week. But no, as for Cole and the long snapping thing, someone dug up a clip from before this week when he was talking to Adam Hogue, and Adam Hogue had just like read or something on the depth chart or whatever. It was like, hey, Cole, I didn't know you were the emergency long snapper. And Cole's like, oh yeah, no, that's my worst fear, is to have to actually do that in a game. He's like, I tell Patrick Scales all the time, I'm like, you can't get hurt. You no matter what you do, he's like, don't make me fucking have to snap that ball. So nice to Cole, for it being your worst nightmare, you handled it really well, buddy. I'm proud of you.
He did a great job.
But yeah, is there anything left on offense to tackle before we move on to the other side of the ball? Because there's still stuff to talk about there too.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give a shout out to the offensive line a bit. Is this the best defensive line in the league? No, but it has more of a pulse than Carolina did.
Yeah, I mean that was a better offensive or better defense. I mean, Tremaine Walker is, you know, should he have been the number one overall pick? No, but he had 10 plus sacks last year.
Tremaine,
right?
Like Walker, is that what we're going with?
What is his?
Isn't that
name?
Travion Williams?
Trayvon? No, it's Trayvon Walker.
Trayvon. Okay.
Hold on.
But it's definitely V Y E O N. Yeah, Travion. It can
no,
be Trayvon.
It's just Trayvon Walker.
Okay.
So Trayvon Walker, he was the number one overall pick. Should he have been? No.
Trayvon Williams. Williams, right? It's not Walker.
No, it's Trayvon. I'm literally looking at his Pro Football Reference page now. Okay.
It's Trayvon. Okay. Who's Trayvon Williams?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he had 10 sacks last year.
Running
he's got
back
five.
For the Bengals. Why are there so many people whose names are spelled this way?
He had 10 sacks last year. He's got 5 sacks this year. I think he's honestly not as good as those sack numbers so far. But
he got 3 just the week before this game.
And then
all right in a row.
But Josh Hines-Allen on the other side. Now that's an actually good edge. So yeah, this is a defensive line that has a pulse. It has some pass rushing juice, unlike Carolina. You know, and the Rams had some pass rushing juice too. I mean, Brandon Fisk and Jared Verse for rookies have gotten a lot of pressures.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't want to get carried away with this offensive line. They probably got rougher games ahead of them still, but you know, they played a defensive line with an actual pulse, and they did a fantastic job keeping Caleb clean for sure. Caleb did take 3 sacks, 2 of which though were of the failed scramble variety where he got back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He only lost 5 yards total on the sacks. So definitely not a bad performance there at all. So yeah, got to give the offensive line their credit where it's due.
Yeah. I mean, we have several weeks of bad defensive lines and bad defenses to play left. We've got the bye, and then we have 3 weeks against, you know, cupcake defenses. After that, we got 5 games against top 5 defenses in the last 8. So it is going to get harder. I wish there was a little more in the middle for Caleb. He's going to have to settle for the Packers and Seattle games to get those kind of creamy middle of the league, middle of the road defenses. But yeah, anything against Minnesota, Detroit, or San Francisco is going to be tough.
Well,
you hope he builds. He has such a runway that it guides him into being okay in those games.
Yeah, although the Detroit defensive line just got a lot worse as of yesterday, so that was brutal to.
Boy, wouldn't it be great for Detroit if instead of their backup running back and Sam Laporta, they had, like, I don't know, Jalen Carter on the defensive line right now? Boy, that would help a lot, wouldn't it, Lions fans?
Yeah, well, Sam Laporta is pretty nice, though.
He's fine. Fine. I'm not going to shit talk a Hawkeye. I'm just saying, you could have had another defensive tackle on that line. I don't know. I'm just saying, guys.
But, yeah, no, I mean, the offensive line was very good. And then, well, and also, you talk about cupcake defenses and stuff. And the Bears, you know, like, we talk about the Bears beating the brakes off of bad defenses. I mean, how many times in the past did you look at a Bears quarterback or whatever, and you looked at a bad defense, what looked like a bad defense going in, and you're like, all right, this should be a team that we should be able to move the ball against. And then they just fucking didn't. And again, I'm not trying to pick on... I've been labeled, people are labeling me a hater, but to pick on the last Bears quarterback or whatever, you know, Justin, sometimes it really didn't feel like the defense he was facing mattered at all. It was a question of whether, like, is this a game where Justin sees it or is a game where he doesn't? Because, you know, when he saw it, he was pretty good. When he didn't, you know, and, you know, if you watch Justin the last couple weeks with the Steelers, they played this Cowboys defense that has been absolutely fucking abysmal against everybody else and just got 47 points dropped on them by the Lions, got 40 plus points dropped on them by Derek Carr and the Saints. Just a terrible, couldn't force an incompletion on from Daniel Jones. Just a terrible Cowboys defense. Justin Fields, 13 points, 110 net passing yards. He faced the Raiders, who have been atrocious on defense this year. 145 passing yards. So, like, these are cupcakes, but, like, you shouldn't take for granted, even against these NFL cupcakes, that it's still important that a rookie with 6 career starts is just absolutely dog walking these defenses.
Yeah.
Like, not blinking every drive, basically resulting in a touchdown. Like, that is impressive. It's nothing to take for granted, especially as Bears fans.
Yeah, I'm in a group chat with only Bears and Steelers fans somehow. That's just how it shook out. And all at the same time, everybody watching that Bears game, just people piping in with, like, Justin Fields cannot do what Caleb Williams is doing right now. The Steelers fans, the Bears fans, like, it's just like, well, this is, like there's no question at this point. The Bears made the right decision. I like Justin Fields. I want him to succeed, specifically for at least 3 more games.
Yeah,
Justin Fields to succeed. But, like, there's no question at this point. Like, if you watch that Bears game the last 2 weeks, the last 3.5 weeks, and you thought, oh, Justin could have done this, like, what have you been watching for the last 4 years in the league? He's never done half of what Caleb has already done. And I don't want to shit on Justin at this. It's just Caleb is that good. Like, there's nothing else to say at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Bears Twitter is a rancid place, and there's been a lot of that where it's like, why is he living rent free in your head? Why are you still talking about him? Blah, blah. And I'm just like, can we just be adults here? I'm still talking about him because he was the last guy. I just watched him for 3 years. To me, the contrast. You know, I still talk about Mitch sometimes, too, because, like, the contrast between this guy that I'm watching right now, the things that he is doing that the last 2 guys were incapable of doing, that most of the guys. I've seen, God, how many fucking starting quarterbacks have I seen?
Dalton.
30. I mean, I've watched 38 of these fuckers, I think, in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and only Jay could do some of this stuff, and Jay could do it some of the time, but, you know, he was so inconsistent. Otherwise, he's already doing some stuff that we've just never fucking seen these guys do. So the contrast sticks out for me because it was just the quick release and the perfect base and the accuracy on some of these throws, the timing, the anticipation. Like, there's just a lot that we are seeing here that we have not seen ever.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Bears teams with good offenses not being able to put away bad defenses. This offseason, we crowned the worst Bears game of all time. It was the fucking D'Angelo Hall game.
Yes.
The best Bears offense of our life went in against one of the worst teams in the NFL and just fucking shit all over themselves. Our quarterback, for some reason, could only throw the ball to D'Angelo Hall during that game. That's the kind of thing we're used to seeing. We're not used to seeing the Bears go in against bad teams and beat the hell out of them. And we're definitely not used to seeing it be repeatable. We're definitely not used to seeing a Bears quarterback do that to one bad team and then go out the next week and do it to another bad team.
Well, and that's specifically, you know, so this, you know, two-game stretch against the Panthers and the Jaguars, you know, you look at it going in and you're like, well, that should be a stretch where the offense gets well, where the offense put up. I distinctly remember that 2010 season, very similarly, the Bears started, I think, they started 3-0 and then they lost a couple, and then you looked at the Seahawks game. I think they had this, it was either Washington and then the Seahawks, or it was the Seahawks and then Washington. I can't remember. But the Seahawks at that time were like a bottom five defense. The Washington was a bottom five defense. And I remember looking at those two games and be like, well, this is where the offense, you know, this should be, you know, and they lost both games with Jay just fucking it up all over the field. Even though they were better than the opponent they were playing, sometimes the quarterback just did that shit. So it's not, I don't take it for granted to just effortlessly march down the field, because that's what good quarterbacks do versus bad teams. So like, yeah, you take it for granted that a good quarterback does that to a bad defense. This is the first time that you're maybe thinking of the fact that we have a good quarterback.
I mean, that's the important part, right? It's that Justin had like one of these games the whole time he was Bears quarterback against the Broncos. A, he fucking lost that game. B, he never did it again. Like, he was just that, and then he was back to being just with Mitch. We're talking about this Bucks game, and it was like, wow, what an explosion. It's not repeatable. Caleb is out here. He's not just repeating it. He's doing it in back-to-back weeks. He's just like, oh, yep, I've actually improved. I've caught on fire, and now we're just going to keep it rolling. We've never had this. Like, how as a Bears fan can you not be like, oh, is this what it feels like? Like, this is by far the best quarterback play I've seen as a Bears fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's six games in. Because, like, he's going to face tougher defenses, but he's also, by the time he faces them, he's going to have a hell of a lot more experience than he had when he was facing the Texans. The offensive line's hopefully going to have some of their shit sorted out more than they had. Like, they will hopefully be more ready to meet the challenge. And no, they're not going to probably put up 35 points and probably score on every drive and be the most efficient, but they should have a fighting chance with a top 10 defense, which they have, to win some of these fucking games. And, like, how many times in our lives have we just not had the goddamn fighting chance?
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. How many times have we brought a knife to a gunfight? So at least that we might be bringing a gun this time. That's pretty good. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah. You bring up the defense right now. Let's six overall in DVOA. Let's talk about the freaking defense. Yeah. They were without, as you mentioned, their number two corner. They were without their first backup corner. And then as the game went on, they were without Kyler Gordon.
They were also out Brisker. Don't forget.
That's right. Brisker also out at safety. So we had Elijah Brisker Hicks out and Owens in there sometimes, I think.
Yeah, Brisker after what were probably the two best games of his career in a row, was all over the field against the Rams, was all over the field against the Panthers.
The Bears went into this game as underdogs.
And that was weird to me.
And
that
you was, and I all, were talking about this before the game. -1.5 at kickoff.
There was a lot of late movement towards because the Bears had originally been the favorite, and then there was a lot of late movement towards the Jags, and to the point where I was like, is Caleb going to miss this game or something? Like, does Vegas know that he pulled his hammy and we don't? And then when it was the game started and nothing had changed, I was like, why the fuck did everyone suddenly decide that the Jaguars should be the favorites here?
Like, the only late breaking news was that the Jaguars got there late. You know, like the Bears were there like 3 days earlier getting, you know, accustomed to London or whatever.
Yeah.
I
think that made the Bears sure looked like the fresher, more put together team. The Jaguars definitely looked like the hangover team. So again, why did the line move towards the Jaguars at the last minute? I still don't understand that.
I big mystery, just like completely baffling to me. And then the Bears went out and stomped them. So I have no idea. But the defense, the goddamn defense, even without those guys in the secondary, Kyle, we talked about this before the season. You were like really big on it. This secondary, the top guys make up a top five secondary in the NFL. Like maybe the best secondary. Some weeks they have been. But the depth behind those guys, Jalen Jones, Elijah Hicks, Jonathan Owens. We got to see Josh Blackwell out there, who, like, I mentioned him sometimes, and then you're like, okay, Josh Blackwell, yeah, you've got to talk about him. And then he goes out there, gets a pick.
He played pretty well. Yeah, no, I mean, and knock on wood, it sounds like Eberflus was talking today. It does sound like Kyler Gordon maybe avoided the worst case scenario. He talked about it like there was a potential that Kyler could even play versus Washington. I don't want to get, I'm not expecting that, but it sounds like maybe we're not talking a month long absence of Kyler Gordon or more, which is great because he's so integral to what they do. But I also think, you know, hopefully it sounds like with the bye and everything, we'll probably have Brisker back. Good chance they get Terrell Smith back. Good chance they get Tyreek back. So, you know, just having those three guys back, because Terrell Smith's a very solid backup corner as well, would step in if Kyler is able to play.
But yeah, I mean, Jalen Jones, the guy to take over for Kyler.
Yeah, that did. They targeted Jalen Jones quite a bit, and he gave up some catches, no doubt. But he still played pretty well. And then Elijah Hicks, you know, they targeted him a couple times, but you know, he broke up that first touchdown pass that Trevor tried to throw. He was all over the place too. This was the deepest unit they had by far going into the season. We said was defensive back, and that was absolutely proven. They were down three guys, and it wasn't even that noticeable. They were still bringing it. So yeah, and then again, great game plan from Eberflus with the guys they had, with the guys they were missing. No complaints there. The defensive line, one of the quieter days that Jervon has had, but I still feel like he was affecting things. Again, another kind of a quiet game from Billings too, but you still felt there was push. But Sweat had a sack, I think, or at least he had an almost sack that he then forced into Walker for the cleanup. Yeah.
Our backup, our much maligned backup defensive tackles, both got sacks. Coward, yeah, and Chris Williams.
Yeah, and they didn't give up much on the ground at all to Jacksonville, which a lot of people were a little worried about. You know, Etienne and Tank Bigsby going into that game because he just had a big game. Didn't give up shit on the ground. One of their better run defense efforts so far this year. So yeah, I mean, it was just an impressive performance all around again from this defense.
Huge shout out to TJ Edwards' ass. Just a great defender.
The immaculate ass flexion was fantastic.
Yes, just throws his hands up and goes right off his butt. Yeah. It's fine. Perfect defense.
Yeah. Elijah Hicks, like I said, he broke up that pass in the end zone.
Kevin Byard continues to be like so good. He's PFF's number three safety in the NFL now, I believe.
Yeah, Kevin Byard's done some really good stuff. Neither of us were upset about that signing, but, you know, we were a little surprised at how quickly they pounced on Kevin Byard
We thought there were a lot of safeties out
with there. That safety market being what it was, but, I mean, you got to argue that was 100% the correct decision. He has just been the veteran leader of that secondary already. You can tell he stepped right in as the captain of that back unit.
I will point you to the Philadelphia Eagles and their issues. And it's not, it wasn't Kevin Byard, Philly. It was all you
guys. Yeah, the Eagles have so much going on. Nick Sirianni fighting Eagles fans. That's a smart decision.
And Jalen Hurts saying he wished he would fight Eagles fans more. Just an insane football team over there.
Yeah, a lot going on in the NFC East, no doubt. Many things happening.
Everybody else lost their minds.
Yeah, I was like, I'm obviously like, I'm one of the biggest Jaden Daniels skeptics out there, and I have less than zero faith in Washington's defense. And yet, right now, I mean, how do you pick anybody but them in the East right now? Because, like, do you think that Cowboys defense is going to slow down Jaden Daniels and that Washington running attack at this point? They're going to run for 400 yards. Like, what do you even do? The Eagles are a mess. I mean, the Giants are still the Giants. They got Daniel Jones, for God's sakes. So, I mean, it's weird. Looping back to the Bears defense, is there anybody else we have forgotten to single out? I don't feel like Tremaine Edmonds had his best game. I feel like Evan Ingram
got beat a couple times by
Evan Ingram got him a couple times. Yeah, so not Tremaine Edmonds' best game. Not the worst game either. But yeah, I'm glad you brought up TJ Edwards deflecting the ball with his ass, because I had completely forgot about that. That deserves to be shouted out, no doubt.
Yeah, and I mean, it was on a It looked so much like the better quarterback was Caleb Williams here. Not just because the Bears defense is so good either. It was just, there was a play that really, it made you and me instantly text each other the same thing, where Trevor has DeMarcus Walker coming around the left edge. And yeah, he's breaking around fast. But, you know, Trev sees immediately, he rolls out to the left, but he stops looking downfield entirely. He tucks the ball in and he just sprints. And it's third down. It's third and 10. And
yeah,
it was so dispiriting to see him just give up on a play like that.
That was shocking to see, because I would have said even last year, I would have said Trevor Lawrence's best quality as an NFL quarterback was his pocket presence.
Yeah.
And so, and usually that is the sign. In the NFL, that is a sign when a guy has truly lost his confidence in his infrastructure, and when you see them just start to tuck it and run. So, yeah, that was disappointing to see from Trevor Lawrence 100%.
I would get into the Washington stuff more, but I think next week is going to be about Washington. We're going to talk about Jaden. I want to talk about this rookie class, because we talked about how good it was going to be. We talked about this being an outstanding one of those draft classes you look back on and you say, this like has 15 Hall of Famers in it. Like, what the hell was in the water for this draft class? If anything, they've exceeded expectations.
Yeah. Somehow. I mean, Neighbors, he's been out with the concussion, but Neighbors was like on pace for record breaking shit. Odunze's looked great.
Marvin Harrison Jr.'s. Joel looks incredible in San Diego.
Joel, top five left tackle in the game already?
He's a monster.
His first game, he fucking stonewalled Max Crosby. It was nothing. So, yeah, a lot to talk about next week.
Playing really well with a bunch of bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, so next week's bye week, we'll do a little bit towards the end, obviously previewing that Commanders game, but we'll do an around the league look at stuff. We always like to do that during the bye week. Just kind of talk about.
We'll talk about what I did to Sam Darnold. Up Sam Darnold this season?
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess we're wrapping up a little early tonight, but I mean, all the vibes are good. The juices are flowing. We got a bye week and stress-free bye week off a 3-game win streak to enjoy the crisp fall air and the smell of victory.
Yeah, I mean, as Bears fans, we don't often get vibes this good going.
The vibes are immaculate right now, folks. There will be bad games ahead, no doubt, but like, have you ever felt more confident that the Chicago Bears have finally solved that particular problem, the problem, than you do right now?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like, I felt good about Justin at points. I'm not going to lie about that. Like, I felt really good at times during his second year where I thought like, oh, you know, he has all the pieces. If he can just put them together, there was always that caveat. That caveat with Caleb. It's just,
this guy is a beast. Yeah. There's no, if he can just right now, the only, if he can just is like, yeah, if he can just keep this up. You know, he can just keep doing, you know, you're not even like, you're not squinting and trying to see like, oh, well, how's he going to win eventually? You see how he's winning right now. You're like, just keep this up. Just keep building on this. Just keep growing at this. Just do all the stuff you're doing with Justin. Even in 2022, as exciting as it was, some of that stuff, you're like, man, he's so electric. His athleticism gives him such a leg up. If he could just then fix these things, but there's not that with Caleb right now. You're not trying to squint and ask yourself like, well, is he ever going to learn how to throw the ball? You're not squinting like you did with Jay Cutler. You're like, what if one of these days he just stopped being a fucking idiot? Like, what if he
stopped throwing all the dumb interceptions?
Yeah. What if he suddenly cared one day? Like, what if he, you know? And like, or with Mitch, when you just be like, what if someday he's just not stupid? Like, what if he's just not, what if he had a couple, what if he had a second brain cell, you know? So
what if he had any ball knowledge at all?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. If he could learn something, he'd be an assassin. Like,
yeah. So no, things are good. This is good. Happy days are here again right now, folks.
Hell yeah. All right, well, I'll see you next week after at least one NFC North team is lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
way out on that bumpers road. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I show do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.